This is an iHeart podcast. Guaranteed human.
Crime Stories with Nancy Grace. Savannah Guthrie's mother, Nancy Guthrie, missing day 19. This as we learn new DNA evidence discovered. What? I'm Nancy Grace. This is Crime Stories. I want to thank you for being with us. But can an amateur really elude the FBI for this long?
And obviously, Nancy, he doesn't even know what he's doing. I mean, he's looking at the ground. It's just like a lot of wrong in this picture.
What was he doing in that home? Seemingly more updates every night. During the night, news unfolds in the search for Nancy Guthrie. We are learning about new DNA found 2 weeks after Nancy goes missing. A pinky ring that seems to be easily identifiable. This as the search extends into Mexico, regardless of what authorities are trying to tell us. That and so much more as Google is lending another helping hand. With me, an all-star panel to make sense of what we're learning right now. Is Nancy Guthrie alive? Is Nancy Guthrie dead? What is her family going through as we go to air right now? Dave Mack joining me, Crime Stories investigative reporter. New DNA, what?
Well, you know what, Nancy? Earlier this week, we knew that law enforcement investigators had been back at the house, and we knew they were looking for something. Well, apparently, they were all over the house looking for biological material, and that's what they found. Investigators found biological material that does not belong to Nancy Guthrie. They found it inside the home, and again, you pointed it out, weeks after the home had already been searched, after evidence had been collected, and after the home was briefly turned back to the family before the investigators shut it back down. But still, 2 weeks after this crime began, law enforcement finding biological material inside the home that does not belong to Nancy Guthrie.
Guys, we're showing you Nancy's home right now. This is from our friends at 12 News. There's so many directions to go with this bombshell. It's maybe a bombshell to only crime watchers, crime aficionados, people like us, prosecutors, former FBI, lawyers, shrinks, DNA experts. You got a big, big problem with the fact that this DNA is discovered 2 weeks later. Let's go ahead. Let's tackle it head on. Joining me, Kelly Hyman, veteran trial attorney, analyst, podcast star of Once Upon a Crime in Hollywood. Kelly, go ahead. I'm ready for you. See, I know what you're going to say, and I'm ready for you. Go ahead. Attack the DNA. I'm ready.
DNA is key to this case. Why is DNA so important? Because the DNA can prove who was there. The DNA can help substantiate who was in the house at this time. The police went in and then 2 weeks later find this DNA. All of a sudden, after 2 weeks, it's found. Now, I could see a lot of couch investigators saying that there's something wrong with that. Why didn't they find this DNA the first time? Why is it all of a sudden being found, Nancy?
Okay, there you go. That's just a tiny, tiny tidbit. Kelly Hyman is actually being generous and delicate with this attack because let me assure you that when and if this goes to trial, there will be a frontal attack on this DNA. Here's my response. So they find the perp, okay? This DNA has already been found, okay? Even though it's late to the party. When they find the perp, that's going to be much later. So what? They're mind readers? They now know who the perp is. They go get his DNA and they plant it? Yeah. Straight out to Scott Eicher joining me. Uh-oh. Now I'm giving her time to come up with her next attack, and believe me, she will. Scott Eicher joined me, digital forensics expert, founding member of the FBI Cellular Analysis Survey Team. They're the ones behind the scenes that are getting all the phone numbers and phone data and much, much more from the area. That, I contend, is why they pulled over the first guy, the first catch and release. Remember him? He was released, and I think he was picked up because his phone kept pinging in the area. He had nothing to do with it, by the way. I hate to even keep mentioning his name. He had nothing to do with this. But that's what CAST is doing and much, much more. Also, former homicide detective with Norfolk, Virginia, 12 years. Now, he is with Precision Cellular Analysis at PCAExperts.com. As much as I am poo-pooing her, Kelly Hyman is right. This is going to be subjected to a huge attack. I imagine what happened, Scott, is that the local Pima County went in and processed the scene. The FBI was finally allowed in, and they reprocessed it and found the DNA. What do you think?
I think you're correct there. Also, the scenarios change. You know, first of all, it was a missing person. And then later on, we'd get ransom, and now we're looking at it as a kidnapping. So you come in with fresh eyes or different eyes to look at different things. Now, I definitely think that a full process should have been done immediately once they realized this was possibly a kidnapping. But fresh eyes and the FBI with its specialized equipment and knowledge, that's always good to go back and look again. As long as they've kept the crime scene, you know, which it appears that they have not, we could still go in and look for DNA and hopefully any other evidence and recover it.
Okay, well, Scott Eicher, let me have you address this because you've been with a local police department in Norfolk, Virginia. You were a homicide detective there and you were a Fed for many, many years. Let's give Pima a tiny break here. This type of ransom, kidnap for ransom, is rare. I can count them on two hands that we know of, right? I've done a lot of kidnaps. I've investigated and prosecuted kidnaps, but not of this nature, right? More like carjack, put the victim in the car and take off. That's a kidnap. More like take the victim to a secluded location and rape her. That's a kidnap. There are many, many genres of kidnaps, right? Kidnap for ransom is a very rare bird indeed. So not just Pima, but generally all across the country, expertise in kidnap cases, it's few and far between. Would you agree with that?
I definitely agree. And local police departments normally wouldn't deal with this in the first place. Once it becomes a suspected kidnapping, the federal authorities can come in and help those local police departments. And we do come in with a lot of experts in several different aspects, DNA, cellular stuff, BAU, our behavioral analysis unit, all this can help those local police departments get a grip on what's going on here and help them work through the case.
And I understand, I disagree, but I understand why they are very possessive of the case that they started investigating. And they look, when I was state prosecutor, I liked the feds because I had been a fed before, but I also loathed them because they act like they know everything, because they do, but they really rub it in and they Bigfoot you. Nobody likes that. But when you're trying to do what's best for your case, you let them in. So I wonder about how much the delay of bringing the feds in on this cost the investigation, and now we're seeing the first fatality. I'm not saying the DNA was planted. That's impossible because we don't know who the culprit is yet, right? So you can't plant the DNA. That said, Kelly Hyman is right. This DNA is going to be subjected to a strict scrutiny and a heated cross-examination, and I hope the state and the DNA can survive. Look at OJ. Does somebody really believe the LAPD had the wherewithal to go plant the victim's blood on Simpson's socks? No. And I guarantee you, after all these years, whoever did the planting or who knows about the planting would have done a blockbuster movie and a book and made millions and millions of dollars. Hasn't happened because That didn't happen. Nobody planted this DNA. It's be impossible at this juncture. Now, speaking of DNA so heavily, and I haven't even gotten to the rest of the news yet, to Tammy Ballard joining us. She is a DNA crime scene consultant. Crime scene investigation and reconstruction is her specialty. This is the important part for our purposes tonight. Former DNA criminalist at the San Diego Police Department Crime Lab, San Diego. Never a lack of business, never a lack of DNA experimentation going on in that lab. Tammy Ballard, thank you for being with us. Okay, you're the expert. I could make a stab at asking you the questions, but you tell me your thoughts first. By the way, that's how I would always approach an expert when preparing for trial. I recognize you know a lot more than any of us on this panel about DNA. So instruct us, teach us, tell me your thoughts on this, Tammy Ballard.
Well, with respect to the finding the DNA 2 weeks later, my first thought would be to compare that to the DNA from everybody who has entered that resident, just to rule that out so there's no embarrassment down the road. Nobody's perfect. I've returned to scenes and found additional evidence. Everybody wishes they could go to a scene and process just to make sure they didn't overlook anything. The 2 week later thing is a little tough, but it is what it is. And again, the important thing is that that's getting collected.
I need to follow up on something you just said. Did you say that you, Tammy Ballard, have gone back to scenes to process them again?
If more information has come out and I'm allowed to go to a scene and check for additional items, I've also returned to a scene with one of the gurus, Tom Bevel, who is from Bevel Gardner and Associates, and walked through my double homicide with him and learned from him about some additional stains that I could have collected. So, you know, you got to stay humble, stay open. Everybody there should be as a team and just trying to do the right thing and find Nancy Guthrie and the perpetrator.
Okay, that sentiment is shared by everyone on the panel. What do you mean you went back with Bevel and he pointed out additional things that you should have tested, and then from that point on you did that? What additional things did he instruct for you to test?
Well, if we're speaking technically, I had an interesting injury on one of my victims in the double homicide, and there was a bloodstain pattern adjacent to where his head had been, and I learned from Tom Bevel that actually wasn't an additional shot fired. It sheared when it struck the victim. So it was changed my number of shots fired. It made me look so much closer at bloodstain patterns.
Crime Stories with Nancy Grace.
Tammy, you said that the bullet sheared. What do you mean by that?
One of the bullets struck my victim in the forehead, and actually some of the bullet fragments entered into his head and some of them sheared off and went directly perpendicular to the victim's head through the door. So tiny, tiny circular stains that I had overlooked after being in a crime scene for probably 24 hours, that was something that I had overlooked. And it was great to have somebody who is an absolute legend in the field be able to walk through my scene with me and point that out. So that was very useful.
Wow. That's a great rendition. Okay, that would support going back to the scene. And you're right, everyone that has processed the scene has to now be tested for DNA. They have to give their DNA to prove it's not their DNA that's been found. And we see that a lot in when there are claims of contamination or cross-contamination, like within the lab. Somebody touched the specimen and got their DNA in it. It's a It's a horrible, horrible detour for the state to have to make when presenting a case. Right up front, you have to say, yeah, we screwed up the DNA, but yet I want you to believe the DNA. So that's a problem. But what the prize is finding Nancy Guthrie. And that is just a sideshow. We'll deal with that if and when we ever get to trial. So what type of DNA, Tammy Ballard, do you believe was found, obviously, by the feds, by 2 weeks? And Dave Mack, anybody on the panel, jump in if I'm wrong. After about 2 weeks, I'm pretty sure the feds were already in. There was a standoff for a while where the locals did not want them in. They're refusing to admit that. It's true. They did get in. So I'm imagining it's them that went back. So what type of DNA do you believe they found that they didn't see the first time?
I can only imagine that it was going to be an item of evidence that is an outlier, not necessarily a blood stain or any touch DNA from something that is stationary in the home. I'm expecting, or I would imagine that it's going to be some sort of article from something that is something that you can remove from that home. So not a table, not a sofa. It's going to be some sort of article of clothing or a tool or something that is going to be that outlier where they will remove the DNA from that item.
Again, joining us, an all-star panel trying to make sense of everything. To Dr. Bethany Marshall joining us, psychoanalyst out of the LA jurisdiction, author of Deal Breaker. You can see her on Peacock and find her at drbethanymarshall.com. Dr. Bethany, I know that this is a step forward, but sometimes it must feel for the family that it's one step forward, two steps back.
You know, Nancy, of course it feels that way to them, because what's horrible for the family is the unknown. They have no idea if their mother is dead or alive. They don't know how she's been treated. And Nancy, when we face the unknown, we project into it our worst possible fears. That's how we evolved as a species biologically, is we evolved to be suspicious of the unknown so we could keep ourselves safe. But that's what causes anxiety, right? When we don't know how a situation is going to turn out. So in this case with the mother, they're going to be wondering, like, is she cold? Is she being fed? What about her medications? How has she been treated by the perpetrator? Are they kind to her? Are they cruel to her? Has she passed? If so, under what circumstances? Was there somebody there to hold her hand? I mean, this is agonizing for the family. They need to know. They need all these details so that they can sleep, so that they can think, so that they can move on with their lives. They need their mother back. Whether she's deceased or alive, Nancy, they need to know what's happened to her.
You know, Dr. Bethany Marshall, when I learned there was new DNA, well, let me rephrase, newly discovered DNA, I was elated, but then I was immediately concerned and worried about how the DNA was going to be attacked and how this would affect the family. They'll be happy at first, but then they'll start questioning the entire investigation. Why wasn't it found to start with? It could be something as simple, Tammy Ballard, is going back in to do, I don't know, let's just go with a touch DNA analysis, redoing the home with an alternate light source to find DNA after they realized the perp had been touching with the gloves on, touching that bite light over and over and over, touching the holster over and over and over. That's just what we saw. What else did we not see? For Pete's sake, did he blow his nose? I don't know. But maybe after they evaluated that door cam video, they got an idea and went back in. It could be as innocent and easily explainable as that, right?
Correct. They definitely went back in to reprocess, and again, hopefully with a fresh set of eyes and more of a diverse approach so that they can, additional evidence can be obtained. So Again, I can only speculate, but there's always the chance that something fell off of the perpetrator with a struggle. So maybe that was something that got overlooked. It could have been underneath the side of a couch. It could have been something that just kicked when everybody's in the home and they realize that it's there. So it's something to consider. And my thought would be, worry about getting DNA from that item now. Worry about excluding other people from it that have been in the house for the investigation and the family members, and then worry about the downstream process later.
You're right. You're right. Guys, the reason we're spending so much time on the newly discovered DNA is because it could crack the case wide open. There's not just CODIS, the National DNA Databank. There is also the Arizona Databank that allows much more diverse, let me say euphemistically, DNA profiles in there. You can have DNA from crime scenes that are unsolved. You can have DNA from just suspects that have not been convicted. You can have all sorts of DNA in the Arizona Databank that is not allowed due to strict regulation of the National CODIS Databank. See where I'm going with this? It's a much more diverse array of DNA, and there's over 500,000 DNA profiles in the Arizona Databank. Then you've got Interpol's DNA Databank. You even have iFamilia, which is out of Mexico and other jurisdictions. Now, the Mexican DNA Databank deals mostly with identifying missing people, dead bodies, victims that have not been identified, but still there's DNA in there to be mined. So we're just getting started with the whole DNA process. And speaking of Mexico, straight out to Dave Mack from Crime Stories. Dave Mack, we are learning, regardless of what Nanos keeps trying to stuff down our throat, I'm not swallowing, number one. They are looking in Mexico, and it's not just them. Isn't it true? The Guthrie family has reached out to a group of moms in Mexico that search for missing people. Tell me.
The Searching Mothers of Sonora. That's who the Guthrie family has reached out to. This group of women actually search for missing people in Sonora. Now, the reason this is important, Nancy, is there is Nogales, Arizona, and Nogales, Sonora, Mexico, just across the border. We're talking 60 miles south of Tucson. You go through Nogales, Arizona to Nogales, Mexico. And the Searching Mothers of Sonora have been contacted by the Guthrie family to try and help find Nancy Guthrie. It is more than just possible, Nancy, that Nancy Guthrie could have been taken across the border right there at Nogales.
Okay, I am so ill right now, Dave. Mac, to Scott Eicher, the family is having to reach out to Mexico. What? Why is the family having to do the work of the sheriff? Of course they should reach out to Mexico. Do I believe she's in Mexico? Don't know. Could be, because it's so close. But why is the family, why is Savannah Guthrie and her siblings at a time like this having to do the job of law enforcement? Help me out, Eicher.
It is kind of strange that their family's doing the reaching out. You got to remember, I believe the FBI and maybe the sheriff's office is reaching out to Mexico, but not telling us about it. They should be doing that in the first place because Tucson is only 60 miles from the border. But these nonprofit situations, hey, you know, why not use anything that we can? And if the Guthrie family thinks, hey, this mom nonprofit group and just across the border can help at all, why not try that too?
I wanted to come on, and it's been 2 weeks since our mom was taken, and I just wanted to come on and say that we still have hope, and we still believe.
You can buy a burner phone under any name, not your own.
You don't have to put a name on it because you've already paid the phone company. What they want is their money.
So you may never know, if it weren't for the video, who bought the burner phone used outside Nancy Guthrie's home at the time she was kidnapped. The feds and the locals tracking down every single tip. All this while, 84-year-old Nancy Guthrie is missing. You know, we're talking about reaching out to Mexico and finding out whether Nancy Guthrie was taken across the border, which is entirely possible since it is so close to Nancy Guthrie's home. What about it, Dave Mack?
Not only very close, Nancy, but the crossing point at Nogales, for example. Nogales in Sonora, Mexico. So we've got a quick shot. You realize that the glove that was tossed out of a vehicle, we don't know if it's a glove that we're looking at right there, but it was tossed out on a road heading towards Interstate 19. Interstate 19 runs from near Nancy Guthrie's home straight to Nogales. And crossing the border from the United States into Mexico, far different than coming the other way. Only one in 25 or so vehicles even gets checked going across the border from the United States into Mexico. Crossing at any time, not that difficult. Crossing at night, simple. And getting a woman out of the United States into Mexico, be a breeze. So looking in Nogales is not only smart at this point, I cannot believe they're not feet on the ground looking.
To Dr. Bethany Marshall, you have familiarity with the Searching Mothers of Sonora. What can you tell me?
I do, because I've heard them interviewed. Nancy, these women are fierce. They are sick and tired of this culture of kidnap. Okay, and they have different tools at their disposal. They may not have all the DNA testing and all of that, but they have something very powerful. They have connections. They know people who know people, and they have, many of them, their own husbands and sons who have been abducted. So they are on the search, they are on the hunt, and they are people to be reckoned with. And I think it's very smart that the family reached out to them.
Dave Mack, another issue with extending the search into Mexico is that Mexican authorities, and we've seen this with Americans that go missing there and fall to violence there. Don't go to Mexico on a vacation. Just listen to me, all right? They have a very different standard of investigation than we do in the U.S.
They do, Nancy, and, you know, it's just a different culture. And when we have actually been involved in investigations in Mexico, and I say we being the United States of America, oftentimes we run up against local authorities who are not necessarily on the up and up as we would expect. So a lot of times in Mexico, when we're dealing even with law enforcement, Nancy, we don't know who's the real law enforcement and who's really in charge. This is a problem that Mexico has acknowledged for years, that they have a problem in their own policing. So that's the problem we run up against.
To whoever has her or knows where she is, that it's never too late. And you're not lost or alone. And it is never too late to do the right thing. And we are here. And we believe. And we believe in the essential goodness of every human being. And it's never too late.
On behalf of our family, we want to thank all of you for the prayers for our beloved mom, Nancy. We feel them, and we continue to believe that she feels them too. Our mom is a kind, faithful, loyal, fiercely loving woman of goodness and light. She's funny, spunky, and clever. She has grandchildren that adore her and crowd around her and cover her with kisses. She loves fun and adventure. She is a devoted friend. She is full of kindness and knowledge. Talk to her and you'll see.
The light is missing from our lives. Nancy is our mother. We are her children. She is our beacon. She holds fast to joy in all of life's circumstances. She chooses joy day after day.
There you see the Guthrie siblings begging for the return of their mother, Nancy Guthrie. The investigation goes on now, extending into Mexico. We learn, hopefully, the Mexican iFamilia database will be used for DNA as well as international databases. Guys, we also are learning about polygraphs that went down into the evening last night. Dave Mack, what about it?
Well, as normally a case develops with everybody involved. Now, you've got workers all around the house that are being investigated because they should. Anyone with access to the home has been brought in. And we're talking about people, even including the pool workers that came by the other day to clean the pool. Nancy Guthrie doesn't normally have a pool cleaning service. The family called it out to make sure that it was being kept up. But you know what? Nancy, everybody with access to that home, everybody with access to Nancy Guthrie, probably people at church as well as everywhere else, is being polygraphed to find out everything law enforcement can at this point. And as you mentioned early on, somebody rejecting a polygraph is going to become a huge suspect.
Dave Mack, did you actually say that the church congregants are being polygraphed or they should be polygraphed?
Should be polygraphed. I misspoke. But everybody
okay.
should be, Nancy.
Actually, I agree with you. I'm not impugning them or suggesting wrongdoing on their part, but everyone connected to Nancy Guthrie should volunteer for a polygraph. Done. What's the problem? So the reason I'm saying that, Kelly Hyman, is here's the gold standard, Mark Class. When his daughter Polly went missing, she was abducted in a sleepover party of her and her little friends at her mom's home. Well, they came bamming on his door, and he went, fine, take my fingerprints, do whatever you want, search my place, search my car, search my office, I'll do a poly right now so you can get past me and find my daughter. So I don't see a problem with everybody connected to Nancy Guthrie getting a polygraph. Now, of course, they are not allowed in a criminal trial unless stipulated ahead of time. We all know that. All the legal eagles know that. But I have used polygraphs as an investigative tool in the past.
No stone should go unturned, Nancy, in this case. And so the polygraph should be done as well. And you're right. You bring up a really good point. If there's nothing to hide, if there's, you know, transparency, then it's really important for people to give polygraphs. It's really important for people to give up their DNA, which, you know, the family has given their DNA and been ruled out as a suspect. But going back to the DNA, like, it's really important that this kind of stuff is key to the case. Why the DNA is so important, because it can help substantiate who is there. And DNA can be used in the court of law. Of course, now the DNA that was found 2 weeks later could potentially be challenged, but it's really important to look at what is available. What is available in regards to resources that are out there, whether it's using the FBI database or potentially also looking at genetic databases as well, like something like 23andMe, in which people can opt out of their information and so that can't be discovered. However, with a court of law, potentially can get a warrant out there to look at that DNA as well.
Crime Stories with Nancy Grace.
Polygraphs going down at the Pima Sheriff's Office. No revelation as of right now as to who is being polygraphed. This, as a reality show, has reared its ugly head. Dave Mack, a reality show?
Nancy, the show is called Desert Law. It encompasses the Pima County Sheriff's Department, which is one of the largest in the country. And believe it or not, this is an embedded elite group of sheriff's deputies that are being followed by cameras on a daily basis. And the show just premiered. So we're talking about a program on A&E that just premiered as this is exploding all over the country. And by the way, the sheriff, Nanos, is not particularly featured on the program yet, but he is consulting and directing where to head with different investigations and helping the actual show behind the scenes. So yes, Desert Law, live from Pima County.
To Dr. Bethany Marshall joining us, psychoanalyst, the sheriff's office in the Nancy Guthrie case has its own reality show. Now, apparently Nanos has not appeared on camera yet, but coordinates with the production company behind the scenes. Okay, I don't know, just gut reaction, not a good look. Thoughts?
It's not a good look. You know, Nancy, I've been on so many reality shows. They take hours and hours. When you watch 5 minutes on a reality TV show, sometimes those people, that the cast members, have been filmed for 3 or 4 days to get that 5 minutes. So we're worried about not enough resources on the ground there in that particular jurisdiction. But all those resources are being pulled away towards a TV show. It's really diluting the resources that they need to find Nancy Guthrie. That was my gut reaction to this.
You know, I'm curious, Kelly, what do you think about this? I don't know if it would hurt a trial or not. Maybe. How?
Well, when you look at it from a legal perspective and you think about the trial, that you have to look at the prosecution that brings the case. They have to prove every element of the crime. They have to prove every element. So when you look at that, you're only going to be looking at what exactly the charges are, whether it's kidnapping, and what are the elements to prove those crimes. Because when the jury sit, as you know, Nancy, they're not supposed to look at outside evidence. They're only supposed to look at evidence that is going to affect the case and that is going to help substantiate the case as well. And so when the juries look at that, they're just going to look at the charges and also what the prosecution to prove up the case.
You know, there's another issue. Nanos is now hosting a number of cherry-picked reporters, his teacher's pets, in his office for one-on-one interviews. His office is professionally lit for TV. What happened to good old-fashioned pressers where everybody shows up and asks the hard questions? What about it, Scott Eicher?
Well, if you're going to do cherry-picking of press and reporters, you've got the control of the interview, and it's not going to look crazy like it does in a regular press conference. So I think if he wants to limit his exposure and try to maintain the integrity of the case, maybe it's a good idea to, you know, do one-on-ones instead of, you know, getting beat up by, you know, 40 different reporters.
Investigative reporter Dave Mack, can I confirm with you that today is February 19?
Yes, it is February 19, 2026.
I'm very surprised it took you that long to answer, but that said, to Dr. Bethany Marshall, the last presser was February 5, Bethany, February 5.
Nancy, I noticed that as well, and I started watching some of the individual interviews that he gave, and he's choosing reporters from very big networks like maybe News Nation or CNN, and that weeds out the reporters from smaller outlets that really might ask incisive questions. Just like the reality TV show, Nancy, this is diluting his time, diluting his resources. He could take 1 hour doing a presser, but instead hours and hours individually with reporters. This is time he could spend finding Nancy Guthrie.
Scott Eicher, before we continue down the trail of finger pointing at a time when Nancy Guthrie is still missing, what about the possibility that has been brought up of tracking vehicles in the area through GPS, through their own GPS trackers? How would that even work? Wouldn't you have to know which car it was in order to get into their nav system?
Well, there are several different aspects. I mean, we know that some cars, some of the newer cars, have cell phones in them. We're doing that with the CAST team. We also know that a lot of companies put GPS trackers on their vehicles rental car companies put GPS trackers on their vehicles. So we could go to them and pull and see what, if any of their vehicles were in the area of Ms. Guthrie's residence around the time she went missing. So another avenue to track vehicles in and out of the area.
Isn't it true, of course you got to get it through subpoena, they won't just hand it over on a silver platter, that, for instance, SiriusXM and other infotainments can be traced in that area? Isn't that true? Just a thought.
SiriusXM is a satellite music entertainment aspect or subscription. They don't track your locations, but OnStar does, something like OnStar. When you hit the button and ask for help, they can track your location. But the nav systems in all the vehicles, like if they recover a vehicle from this case, or they think, and if you remember the Range Rover that they recovered or took from those individuals that they stopped, they're going to pull the nav system out of that and see if that vehicle was in fact in the area of Nancy Guthrie's residence at the time she went missing.
Well, I agree and disagree with you, Scott Eicher. Standard SiriusXM satellite radio only receives signals and cannot track a car. You're right. However, vehicles with active SiriusXM connected vehicle services like Guardian, Uconnect, we've got Uconnect, can be tracked as these use GPS and cell networks to provide location data. To track, you've got to have an active subscription. It's active subscription-based telematics. Now, explain to everyone in regular people talk what that means.
Connected vehicles, that's the term there that makes the that it connects it all, actually, is that if it has a cell phone in it or if it has a GPS device in it, we can track that vehicle. That's what OnStar does when you need help.
As a matter of fact, a case that we investigated, the Debbie Collier death, her car, the location of her vehicle, and ultimately her dead body, was found because of her SiriusXM cell service. They picked up that Wi-Fi, I guess you would call it, trail, and they found Debbie Collier. That's one of the ways they found her. There's one-way versus two-way. There's standard satellite radio. That's one-way, receive only. That does not transmit a car's location. Then you've got the connected services. Now, that's possible through SiriusXM Guardian. It's very common in a Chrysler, a Dodge, a Jeep, a Ram. These services use GPS and LTE cell networks, not satellite radio signals themselves. You could maybe get a bead on stolen vehicle assistance if you have an active subscription. Now, all of these systems can be disabled, but that doesn't mean it's not worth a try. Guys, polygraphs, new DNA, searches now extending into Mexico. Are the feds taking over the case from Pima County? All that brewing as the search for Nancy Guthrie goes on. If you know or think you know anything about this case, please dial 1-800-225-5324. Or, if you wish to remain anonymous, 520-882-7463. There is a $200,000+ reward. We remember American hero Deputy Sheriff Dan Glaze, Russ County Sheriff's, Wisconsin, shot and killed in the line of duty, leaving behind a wife, now widow, Sarah, and three children without a father. American hero Deputy Sheriff Dan Glaze. Nancy Grace signing off. Goodbye, friend.